Father, I just thank you for this, the promise that you've given us, Lord, and how you fulfilled it during this season. And as we listen to the message today, I ask you to come into our hearts and mold it and prepare it, Lord, so that we can hear from you, not from my mouth, but from your heart and from your heavenly realm, Lord. Thank you again for being with us and being such a faithful God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas to everyone, and happy holidays. It's that time of year again. I'm sure most of you, when you've been out shopping, you've seen crowded stores, crowded parking lots, traffic everywhere. You've also probably been into the stores and you probably bumped and elbowed other people trying to grab those last-minute gifts that are still on the shelves waiting for you to pack at home. If you're like me, I usually only do cards, so you go to the card rack. There's the cards with the ornaments, there's the cards with snowflakes, there's the cards with heaven trying to shine down, there's the cards with the three magi, cards of all sorts of things. There's cards with the animals bowing down to the manger. So all these things, you know, grasp our attention. They're all very catchy. We hear a lot of noises as well. We hear bells, we hear choirs singing. We hear Christmas music filling the air. In fact, every day since Black Friday, once I wake up in the morning, my iPod's going, there's always Christmas music, right? There's always Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock. There's also the first Noel. I can't remember how to sing it at this moment, but I'm sure you know what it is like in your heads. You can sing in your heads. And let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. You know, you're hearing these things in the morning. Why? That's what I hear in the morning. Of course, it's not only music I hear in the morning, but I also see stuff, right? Each time I turn on my computer, all my websites have things like, you need to buy this now, hurry and buy this. You know, you need a special gift for that special someone in your life. The radio and TV bombard us with commercials for products that we don't need, but it would be great as gifts for someone else. And if you think about it, if I don't need it, why would someone else need it as well? Just so many things, so many noises around us that cloud our judgment and just, you know, they want you to buy, buy, buy. But that's not the season. My concern, and what we're going to talk about this morning, is that we may become so overwhelmed with the noises around us that we really don't hear the first sounds that came on Christmas night. Now, the first sounds, if we think about it, is of why Christmas is Christmas, is the sound of a noisy inn when they first walked in. Mary and Joseph first walked into a noisy inn. And also the sound of a mother's lullaby. Now, I know it doesn't say in the Bible that there was that Mary sang to baby Jesus, but from watching a lot of movies and from my own experience, I guess, your mom, or if you're a kid right now, your mom always sings to you. Perhaps even if you're an adult, your mom still sings to you. It might be a little awkward, but enjoy it. It's love. So that's what we'll be talking about. We'll be talking about these two sounds, the sounds of the noisy inn and the mother's lullaby, and what they remind us. So we'll be having three reminders today. So if the first reminder is that God loves us. Why does God love us? Well, because he's such an awesome God, and he's the one who created us. He loves us even though many people have turned their backs on him. If we read Luke 2:1-4, before the passage that Torrance read for us, it reads, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, where he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child." So if we look at this inn, how many of you have traveled? Only one, two, three? Sure, everyone. Almost everyone has traveled. Even if you hate traveling, you still travel because it's out of necessity. And in the inn, usually if it's like during a holiday season, let's say you're going to, San Francisco on the night before Christmas or New Year's Eve, you're just going to be packed with people and, you know, there's always a lot of people there enjoying themselves, or at least they seem like they're enjoying themselves. Well, this isn't New Year's Eve. This wasn't Christmas Day for them yet. It was more, we're going there to have this taxes, to have to pay taxes to these people that just conquered us. So in this inn, it was full of people who traveled long distances to get there because Rome had decreed for the whole empire to be taxed, and they had to figure out who was in their empire. So they all went there. In the inn, you could probably hear a lot of hostility, a lot of drinking, a lot of loud talk. A lot of people were angry over the Romans, a lot of bitterness. And the very fact that they were in Bethlehem emphasized that they were a conquered people and that they weren't free to do as they wish. So their anger is part of all the noise that's in the inn. So in the midst of all this anger, all this talk, and all this drinking and bad stuff, in comes through the door. And the door opens, and just for a moment, all the noise stops in the inn. And standing there at the door is two people, Mary, Joseph, and I guess a third person that's in the stomach of Mary, Jesus. And they obviously have traveled a long ways, and the woman is great with child. She's pretty big, because, I mean, I guess a woman who's about to give birth, it's about to pop out, right? So she's standing there, and she's ready to give birth, close to giving birth, and they ask for a room. The manager says, sorry, we don't have a room tonight. And they go, oh. So they're still standing there. The people who were standing around, they probably looked at them. You know, I was wondering, what are these people thinking? They probably thought, how many of them were thinking, maybe I should help them. But they have no place to go. What should they be doing? Nobody was sensitive enough or caring enough to step forward and say in the Bible that, well, I have a room. And if I was a person there, I would have been watching Mary and Joseph and be like, oh, those two probably need a room. I have a room. I probably have two beds in my room. Well, I want my own comfort. I don't want to sleep outside, so I want to keep my room so I won't look at them. I'll stare awkwardly away from them while they're standing there, sitting or standing in the cold. None of them said, well, I have a room, but you obviously need it more than I do, so make yourself comfortable and may God bless you. None of them said that. In fact, no one stepped forward. And only for a moment, that brief one, they looked, they stared, they forgot, they turned back and returned to what they were doing, and the noise level rose again, and there was the drinking, and they enjoyed their time again at the inn while Mary and Joseph had no room. So how many of you have ever seen someone in need but turned the other way because you didn't want to get involved for the comfort of your own agenda? I can honestly say that I have. I know many times I've been driving down the road. If I see a car crash on the side of the road, I would look, I'll stare, you know, I'll rubberneck and go, oh, maybe I should help, but I need to go home to, well, back then I was playing World of Warcraft a lot for all those people who like to play games. I'm like, I have a raid at 6 o'clock, I need to get home, I can't help you today, sorry. And also I'll stare awkwardly ahead and just go, hope they didn't see me, you know, hope they didn't see me, like, driving by, of course. I've looked the other way many times. You know, at school, how many of you have seen professors or teachers or maybe people you don't like carrying lots of boxes or bags and you go, I guess I could help them bring it to their car or I guess I could help them, you know, lift some of those things. But instead, you go back to your friends and go, did you see, like, Mr. Lee? You know, he was, like, carrying all these boxes and he dropped one. You know, you're laughing at their, like, misery. So that's just us as you. You know, we want to help, but we also are aware of what other people think about if we help, and so we don't help, and we don't look there, we don't see. But see, God still loves us. You know the rest of the story in the Bible. If we read verses 6 and 7, it says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So even though there was no room in the inn, God still provided. God still found a manger, a stable for them to stay in. And Jesus was still born, and he was put in a manger. After he was born, there's probably a sound coming out from the stable as well. A sound of Mary singing a song to her newborn son. Now, I know the Bible doesn't say anything about Mary singing, but I'm sure she did because, again, I think mothers always sing. I know my mom always sings to me not before I sleep, but she sings at home, and I'm sure she's singing for me and my sister. So it's just a way for a mother to express her love to a child is through songs and through other things. If we look at Luke 1, verses 46 to 55, We see that Mary's song when she was visiting Elizabeth was a song of joy about who God is, about his characteristics. I'm sure there's some kind of lullaby in there. A song that says that God still cares, God hasn't forgotten, and God has finally sent his Messiah to his son, God has finally sent the Messiah through her into the world. See, when we look at the inn and we hear all these noises, we see what is wrong with the world. We see anger, we see rebellion, we see indifference and poverty. But when we hear the lullaby, we hear a message of love of those people that we are concerned, that people are concerned for others, that people care for others, people love others. There are marriages that don't only survive 2 or 3 years. You know, a lot of media tells us, you know, that's about how long it should be, 2, 3, 5 years at most. If we look around us, we know that marriages can last 10 years at least, 20 years, 50 years, for the rest of our lives. You know, the vows that you make, I was going to say we make, but I haven't made any vows. So when you make the vows, you know, it's for the rest of your lives. You know, so marriages do last. There are young people, you know, who have high ideals, high goals, and who want to make something of their lives. So definitely keep on striving for those because God does love you and he has enabled you to do that. And there are happy homes with people who love each other and who are concerned for each other. Homes that we can, you know, build families and homes where we can build friendships and love with one another. Even though I know families is sometimes the place where we hurt each other the most, it's also a place filled with the most love. So every year, Christmas comes to drown out that noise of the inn and remind us that God does love us. And that is worth hearing, and that is what God wants us to hear, the sound of his love over and over again. Because throughout the year, from December 26th to December 24th, we kind of forget, you know, we're always really busy with our lives. But on December 25th, hopefully, just this one time, you know, we'll remember and be quiet and be still and know that God does love us, and he did send his son for us. It reminds me of a story that I once heard of a little boy who went with his mother to a crowded department store. In this department store, you had a lot of people elbowing each other, like some of us, elbowing each other trying to get the gift, the last gift on the wall. A lot of people, you hear the clerks ring up the sales, you know, keep like the ding-ding songs or the ding-ding noise. It was a scene of noise and frustration. In the midst of all this in the room, there was a little boy with a balloon in his hand. And as he was saying, they're waiting for his mom to get the stuff that they need for Christmas, he was bumped, and the balloon flies in the air. And if you've been in a department store, usually it's really high, so the boy's like jumping. No, he can't get it. Can't get it. A clerk sees the boy. The clerk phones the janitor. You know, I need I need someone to bring a ladder out and get the balloon for me. The janitor, of course, during this busy season, would not want to do that. She's like, well, I have to then get the huge ladder, come to the middle of the store. That would be too much. But the clerk persisted, and the janitor relented, came with the ladder, set the ladder down, and slowly climbed up and grabbed the balloon. Now, as he was doing this, the store got really quiet, because what is this janitor doing, grabbing one balloon? But he grabs a balloon, he climbs back down, gives it to a little boy, everyone goes, yeah, you know, they're all applauding, they're all really happy, and then just like that, they're all back to doing what they were, you know, elbowing each other for the last gift, you know, going back to cash registers to pay for whatever they're buying. But what we remember from this is that for a brief moment, just that brief moment, there was evidence again that love and care does exist in the world, and people are concerned for one another. So Christmas comes every year to remind us of how God loves us and how desperately we need to be reminded every single year that he does love us. It's not a story that we can, it's why we revisit it every year, and it's such a great story of hope and joy. So Christmas comes every year to remind us of God's love and how desperately we need to be reminded. The second thing we can hear that reminds us from the noises that we hear is the hope and joy is available to all of us. If we go back to the story, go back to the Bible, those people in that noisy inn were trying in a superficial way to bring some joy into their lives. They didn't have much reason to be joyful. Again, they were conquered people, oppressed, and probably poor. And they have many reasons to be unhappy. And that night, they're trying to dull their senses through alcohol and through yelling and through fake merriment to forget their troubles. See, this still happens today. In this season of joy and merry, more people will be depressed than any other time of the year because they don't have enough money to buy gifts. A lot of people still struggle with ruined relationships or illnesses or even a death of a loved one. More alcohol is actually consumed in the month of December than any other month in the year. More people take their lives during this month than also any other time of the year. Why is this? Because they are searching for joy in wrong places. Instead, we should be looking at what Torrance read for us earlier in the Bible. If we all can turn to Luke chapter 2 again. And if we look at verse 13, it says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" Now, heavens are joyful. There was like a party up there. They're like, I'm sure they weren't drinking, but they were probably like singing with their harps and whatever angels do, blowing their trumpets. I don't know. Hopefully once we get there, we'll find out. But, you know, there was the promise of the ages to all mankind had come, and they sang for joy. It was fulfilling what God had promised Adam and Eve, that the descendant of the woman would come to crush and permanently defeat the serpent. That is in Genesis 3. So if you want to look that up, it's there. So their love was so contagious that it overflowed the heavens, and it came down and it went to the shepherds, who then preached the gospel, who were first people to hear about Jesus. You know, they arrived, they spread to whoever would listen to them. You know, there's this joy that just emanated from the shepherds, because they just went through and they spread, and they were joyful and they were hopeful because their Savior had come. I actually want to go to a children's book. As many of you know, I was teaching, so during Christmas, we always read this, right? How the Grinch Stole Christmas, by Dr. Seuss. And some of you might not know it, on Christmas Eve, while everyone's asleep, there's a Grinch who hates Christmas. He doesn't know why everyone's so happy. He's like a hermit in the caves. He's like, oh, bah humbug. I don't think he says that, but something like that. He goes, he steals all the presents. He takes on all the lights off the trees. He takes on the trees. He puts them in a bag. You know, this like magic bag. He puts all their tinsel and lights and turkey dinners. You know, he puts everything in from the Christmas that reminds them about Christmas in their bags, puts in his bag, and hides them in a cave up on the hill. And the next day, to his amazement and frustration, he thought everyone would come out and be like sad and crying because their Christmas was ruined. Their Christmas was gone because this Grinch had ruined it. But instead, the people of Whoville, the place where the Grinch stole all the gifts and stuff, the young and old alike joined hands and began to sing and rejoice in the celebration of Christmas. So I'm going to read a part of it and go ahead and pretend you're back in like the second grade, first or second grade, and that you're sitting in front of the teacher or the person who's reading the story to you, you know, it's Christmas, and you like to hear rhymes because Dr. Seuss is a great author. And this is what it says. It says, "And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more?" Dr. Seuss doesn't tell you that Christmas comes from God, that he doesn't tell you where the Christmas joy comes from. He only shows you that people are happy and they're joyful without everything that we surround ourselves, that we decorate. But I want to tell you that the joy that they see is probably from God's love. That's the joy and hope that they're getting it from. It's from God. It comes from a God who so loved the world that he gave his one and only son to die for us. He gave his only son to die for us. He lived among us, taught us, and died for us. A third reminder of the two noises, the lullaby and the noises of the inn, is that Jesus is the real Prince of Peace. And that real peace, our hearts can be at peace because Jesus allowed it. Because Jesus had come and he has provided for us if we look to him. See, there was not much peace in the hearts of the people in the inn that night. They were a conquered people, serving the hated Romans, and there was nothing that they could do about it. So that night, while they were drinking, arguing, they were also filled with despair and selfishness, very much like our people today. What about us? What is happening in our lives? How are we reacting to a world that seems so hard and so cold, where everyone is indifferent to one thing or another? How are we reacting to joblessness in our families or to someone we may know? How are we reacting to crime that goes on around us or our war currently against terror? Perhaps you're out of a job and your family currently doesn't have health care. Are you worried about that? Perhaps your family has someone who has divorced or death. I know one thing that church has been experiencing right now is broken relationships. How are we dealing with all the broken relationships that we once had with other people? Are we reacting with anger? Are we reacting with fear about not what's going to happen next? Or are we feeling helpless in this whole thing because we can't do anything about it? God reminds us that we could actually come to it with a peace that passes understanding. So I was doing the second reminder. I was reminded of the one song, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? And then another, I think two or three verses, there it goes. I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Something like that. So that's what reminded me of. Are we letting the peace that passes understanding come and fill our hearts? It's the kind of peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that calms our nerves. It's a peace that gives us confidence in the midst of adversity. And it's a peace that tells us that God is still on the throne and that God is still in control. And because He is in control, we don't have to worry. And because He is in control, we can enjoy the people around us. We can be hopeful. And we can be peaceful. One of the last stories I'll be sharing tonight is, or not tonight, I wish it was right tonight, today, is that as a man and a boy. So in this story, the man and the boy just lost their mom, or the boy lost his mom, and the man lost his wife, leaving the man to be both mother and father to a 6-year-old son. After the funeral, father and son come home, both feeling sad, both feeling down, and alone, and grieved by their loss. So that night, as prepared for bed, the boy asks, Daddy, where's Mommy? And he goes, Mommy's in heaven. And he goes, just go to sleep, and we'll talk about when you get older. Tucks the boy in to bed, closes the door, and goes back to his room, and he goes to sleep. But they both can't fall asleep. The boy can't fall asleep, and the man can't fall asleep. They're both just kind of tossing and turning. As the man was tossing and turning, he hears a knock on his door. And he goes, boy asks, Daddy, I can't fall asleep. Can I sleep with you in your room tonight? The father goes, sure, son. Come on in. And they're both laying there now, tossing and turning. Can't fall asleep. The boy then asks, Daddy, are you looking at me? Because if you are, I think I can go to sleep. And the father answered, yes, son. I am looking at you. You are protected. Go ahead and go to sleep. The boy smiled, closed his eyes, tossed and turned a little more, and then he falls asleep. The man still can't fall asleep. So what he does, he gets up out of bed, he goes to the curtains, opens the curtains, looks up in the sky, and says, Father, are you watching me? Are you protecting me? Because if you are, I think I can go to sleep and be at peace. See, so feel young and old, we all need a father who is there watching over us. See, Christmas comes to remind us that God loves us through the hope and joy He brings, and that the peace that passes all understanding can be ours. So there are the three things that we can be reminded of during Christmas. That God loves us, and He's always going to be there for us. He's there watching down on us right now. In our rooms, He's watching over us as we sleep, protecting us from anything that may go wrong. Protecting us from the hurt and the anger we may feel from others. Or death of a loved one. Christmas also reminds us of the hope and joy that's available to all of us anytime we want to embrace it. Because He did come for us and to provide us with joy. And He comes to bring us peace because He is the Prince of Peace. The Son of God, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, entered a noisy, dirty, confusing, sin-filled world. He did so for the noisy, sinful, and confused people, for you and for me. See, as we wrap this up, God has offered His kindness and goodwill to all mankind, and He wants us to accept Him as His own. And He wants to accept us as His own, offering close relationships, close friendships, and approval. And if and when we accept His favor, our response will be one of praise to Him for who He is. And we will be singing praises like we did this morning. Because God is in the highest. He's the highest in heaven. And where once there was turmoil and restlessness out there in the world, we're able to find peace, to find calm tranquility, wholeness, and blessings from God. God's favor does us no good unless we respond to Him. We can admire His gift that He gave us from afar, but until we reach out and grasp at it, it's only something that what could have been ours is something what is ours. In John 1:12 it reads, "Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Let's continue to remember that we have a Father who is always watching over us, and He's always protecting us through all the hardships, no matter internal, external. He's always going to be there. He's always watching. He's always there protecting and defending us. People may be mean to us, but He's there to take that and to let it bounce off. Actually, He just absorbs it. And, you know, we're free to do what we want to do. So let's go ahead and read again in Luke 2, verse 14. It reads again, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Let's go ahead and bow our heads. And during this time, I want you to just think about what it is that God did for us. He sent His one and only Son down to earth to be born in a stinky and smelly manger. But He was there for us. He brought hope and He brought joy. He did it because He loved us. For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only begotten Son, that He may perish and save us. He is also the peace, the Prince of Peace, that came and allowed us to, no matter in any circumstance, rejoice in Him and be peaceful and to be still waiting upon Him. Let's go ahead and meditate for a minute or two, and I'll close this in prayer. We'll have a song of response. Father, again, I just want to thank You for Your awesomeness and being our God. Thank You for sending Jesus, Your Son, down on this season, Lord, to come and to save us, Lord, and to bring hope to us, Lord, to bring joy in our lives, even though we may be struggling with with different things in our lives. We may not have a job. We may not have enough money to buy gifts for our kids or our friends that are around us. We may be suffering, Lord, from broken relationships or illnesses. But Father, you came. You came to save us. You came to heal us. And you came to bring us joy. Because you love us, Lord. So as we go through this season, Lord, I pray that you continue to remind us of just your greatness and your presence in us and how you're always around us, protecting and watching over us. Like the son and the man in the story, Father, I ask that we will constantly look to you for guidance, constantly look to you for peace, Lord, and to be in you and to be still in you. In this season of travel, I pray that you keep us safe no matter where we are or where we go. Thank you again for loving us, Father. Thank you again for just holding and nestling us in your arms so we are close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite the worship team up to give us a song in response.